You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, listeners. This is To the Journey.
To the journey.
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt and...
Lori Sears.
That's right. All three are back, and we are back from our one-week vacation. And this show, I think, is going to have some heated arguments. This episode is Voyager's characters that we love to hate. Now, this isn't going to be a bash session about how much we dislike Neelix or Harry. It's going to be guest characters or side characters or things of that nature. No one in the main credits. So all of you lovers out there of everyone in the main credits,
you can relax. Now, we each picked three,
basically just talk about why we love them / hate them, and talk about the episode a little bit. Now, I am dying to know what is on Lori's list first. I need to know your number one person.
My number one person is that character, and I'm never sure if I say his name right, is Mavis or Mavis with a V or a B from Alliances, that Trabe guy. What a super smooth, oily creeper creep.
I forgot about that guy. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's such a good choice.
He's such a schmooze because you think, they're like the victims of the Kazon, when in reality, they're just setting him up for a fall. Wow. Yeah, that was ugly. It was just ugly. I like that scene at the end, though, where that ship is all hanging. I don't know. It looked odd, sort of.
I half expected oranges to fall off into the table in the sitter and make the Godfather reference that much more apparent.
Yes, definitely. Yes. But it was cool. But I'm glad that they figure out what that dude's plan was before all those guys get shot, even though they are the Kazon for... But we'll save that for next week for the negative vibe they send out. But that guy,
I love the Star Trek always does one thing well, and that's showcasing a wolf in sheep's clothing. I think that they do that perfectly, and this is a great example of that. I mean, we see refugees from the great Kazon takeover, and we find out that, you know, they're the ones who are actually the bad guys who kind of took the Kazon, took advantage of the Kazon, and then tried to murder everybody at the end. Under the banner of peace. I mean, you can't get much more evil than that, waving a white flag with a phaser underneath your belt.
True.
Yeah,
very
absolutely true. I think the key word that you said, Lori, was that this guy is a schmooze.
Because,
he had Janeway wrapped around his little finger, man. She fell hardcore for this dude. She bought his story way too easily.
Yeah, she was super naive in that episode. Really, really naive. And I don't know. Miss Starfleet. Oh, please.
I think she trusted the haircut because it was the antithesis of the Kazon's haircut.
And that's it. Yeah. That's gotta be it.
You might be right.
Yeah.
He looked good, therefore he's trustworthy.
Exactly. Just imagine if you had someone who had the hairstyle and clothing of someone like a Kazon sitting on the bus, and then you had someone in a nice suit, like a Trabe with a normal comb over, you know? You're going to sit by the Trabe. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Maybe so. And you're going to be equally deceived, if not more so.
He's like he was like a televangelist to me.
All right, Char, give us your number one and make it a good one.
Okay, that I can do, because I'm going to give you... Ba-boom! Seska!
Oh.
Okay. I was wondering... Okay, I was thinking about picking Seska, but then I was like, she's kind of main, but then she's really not, you know? So I'm glad that you picked her, because that is someone we absolutely have to talk about.
Oh, exactly. We have to talk about Seska. And the reason why I love to hate her is because she is a good character. I almost want to sympathize with her because... I liked the fact that she was unhappy about being on Voyager and being stuck on this journey home and really having very few other options. Where she goes wrong is she goes to the Kazon. Like, of all people to take sides with, to defect to, she goes to them. Oh, boo, that's your downfall, lady.
Well, to be fair, she was already a turncoat. She was already an evil spy.
Well, sure. Yeah, definitely. She definitely, I mean, she was very Cardassian in that sense.
Mm-hmm. But she could have realized that she couldn't have won and that she's separated from the conflict and could have been a productive member of the Voyager crew, but that wouldn't have been anywhere near as interesting.
Well, no. It's just tragic that she decided to go with the Kazon, because I thought that Seska was a smart lady.
I see what you're saying.
She's extraordinarily intelligent, but she's also very impatient. And that's where she falls. That's why she went with the Kazon instead of maybe another enemy. Say if she could have hung on for a couple more years, something like her siding with the Krennim could have been really freaking awesome, where she's siding with them and then trying to maybe come up with some sort of weird thing where Voyager never comes to the Delta Quadrant at all, or something to that effect. I don't know. It could have been an interesting play there. It would have been a very different Year of Hell, of course.
We kind of got that in Shattered, where she realized that there was different aspects, or, I mean, different time zones, and then she tried to take over the ship by going back in time or going forwards in time or whatever it was. So I think it's interesting that kind of concept that you came up with. I feel like Seska could have been the Dukat of Voyager.
Now, disregard
that they're both Cardassian. That's not why I'm making that comparison. I feel like she could have been this series-long arch-villain to combat not only Janeway, but Chakotay, because they had a previous relationship, of course. But I felt like they could have, like, she's a survivor, and like they could have made her survive throughout the series and just come back and get stronger, make her own force, and like you said, make allegiances with other aliens and maybe build her own semi-fleet and then come back to combat Janeway. And kind of like what Dukat does there, he switches the sides back and forth. And I think that would have been interesting to see that all throughout the 7 years, if not all seven, but a majority of them of Star Trek Voyager.
I don't know. I don't know that. She never struck me as being all that smart, where she could have pulled that off the way that Dukat pulled it off. I mean, you just never really knew where he was coming from. He's so secretive. She seemed like she wore her heart on her sleeve a whole lot more than he did. You could read her, where you could figure out her motives. She just wanted revenge to everybody she came in contact with, it seemed like to me. I don't know. I don't know if she could have lasted that long.
You make a good point.
Yeah, you make a good point that she's no Dukat. Dukat is definitely sneakier and much more seductive. So if you compare them side by side, I feel like, Dukat would win in a battle of wits. But I feel like certain aspects of Seska could have been explored to the extent that Dukat was. I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I totally agree with that.
Now, Shar, that was such a good point. I don't even know if I want to continue, because Seska, I feel like that wins. Like, that is the that's
boom,
the character that
mic.
You love to hate. Yeah, boom, drop the mic. But it's funny that you mention Year of Hell, because my number one person is Anorex from Year of Hell.
Nice. That's a good pick.
I have a huge respect and appreciation for Kurtwood Smith. I feel like he can almost do no wrong. He's a Star Trek alum. He, of course, is most widely known for playing Red on That 70s Show for 8 years.
Yeah.
And he can do comedy, he can do drama, he can do action, he can do everything, and he just brought life and sensibility to Anorex, which could have been a very flat, maniacal character, but you understood his motives, and you understood where he came from. It didn't mean you had to agree with him, because I felt like the audience was kind of polarized to Chakotay and Tom's point of view. Like, Chakotay's like, no, I get it. Like, maybe we can save the day and not harm anyone and do this. And then Tom's like, no, he's crazy. Like, we need to get off the ship.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's why I think I love to hate him, is because he is a rich bad guy. And I feel like the best bad guys you should love to hate.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They've got to have reasons for doing what they're doing that we can relate to. And even if we do think they're wrong, we at least know where they're coming from.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to right all the wrongs you had messed up in the past to get back, get your family back, that when you had screwed up and done things you shouldn't have done? Totally, you can relate to that.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many people would seize that kind of power if they had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very dangerous proposition, but that's what made him such a great enemy. Yeah.
I loved it at the end where it kind of ended like Inception, like, did he, you know, like step away from his work? Did he not? Are we just going to run through this again? You know, what's going to happen? So I enjoyed that.
We don't know.
We do not. All right, Lori, number two.
My number two choice was the Borg Queen.
Oh.
Of course, she is just Miss Slime all the way around. And I like her.
Literally.
She literally is. I always love the part where they put her together, where she snaps together like a Lego. The creepiest Lego ever.
Like a Lego. Nice.
A slime ball Lego.
Now, okay, now, which one was your favorite? Did you like how she came together in First Contact, or did you like how they pieced her together in Voyager?
I think that I liked it in Voyager better, where they put all her limbs on.
Really?
I thought that was really cool. You did not?
No, I think it was cool, and I think it was great that we got a glimpse of what it would look like if she had all of her facilities to her use. I mean, obviously, when she was on the Enterprise E, it was like a makeshift hive. But I don't know, it's just something about Alice Krieg giving that long speech as she kind of slithers in. It just has special impact on me, but the mechanics is definitely cooler. You're right.
Yeah, I like the mechanics. Just the fact that she has such mind control over Seven, I thought was really cool and creepy, and so much like a villain, just talking to you in your ear and controlling everything you do. That is really cool. And I don't know, I almost made her my number one, but I just couldn't decide that Mavis guy is such a creep. But yeah, I don't know. What did you guys think about her?
What I want to know from you two is which Borg Queen you preferred. Was it Susanna Thompson or Alice Krieger?
I mean, both did a really good job. I really do think that. I mean, as much as they utilized the Borg Queen, I thought Susanna Thompson held her own. But all she's doing is imitating Alice Krieger. And I mean, Alice Krieger is the original. She's authentic. She made that role what it is. And she did a fantastic job. And
yes.
I gotta go with Alice. She's
That's what does it for me, too. She was the original. And that is, I don't know, that is just it for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys think that it was a slap in the face to Susanna when Alice Krieger came back at the end of the series? Or did you feel like, oh, we just have more money now so we can we can pay Alice?
You had to have Alice Krieger for the finale. You really did. I mean, it's kind of like the Alpha and the Omega, because she was done with that. She started it. She finished it. You had to have her.
It's true.
I think that's a nice way to put it. She started it and she finished it, because we're probably not going to see her again.
Now, if I was Susanna Thompson, I would probably feel like it was more of a slap in the face if I was her.
Yeah.
But I'm not, and therefore, no, not a slap in the face. Totally cool.
We need to find her and bring her on the show and talk to her about it.
That would be awesome.
Do you feel slapped? No. No, I don't.
Let's talk about how emotionally tortured you were when you didn't get called back.
We could probably talk about the Borg Queen. We could probably dedicate an entire episode to the Borg Queen, and we all know why she's fantastic. So let's just go ahead and move right along. So, Char, what is your number two?
Okay, my number two is Kashyyyk from Counterpoint.
I am so glad you brought that. I'm loving your ladies' choices, because everyone I wanted to pick, you guys are bringing up. So this is great. Mm, this is great.
And yet you didn't pick them. Now that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I picked him because he's a very good villain. He's intelligent, but he's also a bit of a smug a-hole. That made him a really good adversary for Janeway. And so watching Janeway beat him at his own game was so gratifying. I love that episode so much, because you're trying to make heads or tails of who's ahead, who's going to make the next move, what's going to happen. and who's going to ultimately outsmart whom at the very end. That's going to be the winner. You know that. And watching Janeway have the last say was fantastic. Absolutely.
I thought he was a lot like the Trab guy, where he's that slimy, you can't trust him, mm-hmm. but you're thrown into a situation mm-hmm. where you have to trust him.
Yes.
I feel like not exactly a sleazy televangelist, more like a sleazy politician.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
That would be my comparison. But I really liked it. I love that whole episode. And
me too.
I think he does a great job. The actor, he's a talented actor, but his voice annoys me. Certain verbs that he hits is mm-hmm. I feel like he's kind of like swallowing his words and I don't know, like curling his lips. It's just a weird, it's just me. I really do think he's a fine actor. It's just like his voice almost added to the beauty that is Kashyyyk, and which is also the name of the Wookiee planet in Star Wars. just throwing that out there. And also that actor is the president of the university in The Big Bang Theory.
Okay, cool. That's
I didn't know that. That is a show I need to watch, and I just haven't done it yet, because I know I'm going to love the heck out of it, and I know I say this about a lot of shows, but I know if I'm going to love it, I'm going to just want to binge on it until I've seen every single episode I can. And
start from the beginning. Do yourself a favor. Don't start with the episodes that have been airing this season or last season.
Okay, okay. Thank you for the advice.
I didn't really hate him. I can't think of him as a guy that I love to hate. I liked him. I thought he was a good match for her, and I think I wish he would have stayed on, but that's just me. And
Go
ahead.
He turned out to be a jerk at the end.
Yeah, and you were saying that she beat him. He really didn't. She didn't. She looked kind of beaten herself there at the end. She seemed kind of heartbroken to me, but that's just me. And I have to say about his voice, too, I was okay with his voice until he said that dude's name. Prax, or whatever it was he said. Oh my god.
Yeah, he totally holds it in the back of his throat. He's like, Prax!
Stop it!
Yeah.
Just stop it now.
All right. Well, I can't say that this guy had a weird voice. My second choice actually had kind of a soothing voice, in my opinion, and that would be Arturus from Hope and Fear.
Oh, hey. This is the guy
that introduced the Dauntless and kind of introduced the Voyager crew to Quantum Slipstream Drive.
Yeah.
And it turns out like he was a friend who decoded a message and tried to help them get home, or so he made them believe. And turns out he was really just trying to get revenge for Janeway not destroying, but getting rid of Species 8472 so that the Borg could be saved. And I love that motivation because I was the same way when Scorpion was going on. I was like, why don't you just, like, let's figure out a way to let them destroy the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll combat Species 8472. And it bugged me to no end because I love that Arturus is like, who the hell are you to decide the fate of this quadrant and this sector? Like, and I just loved his motivations, and it's to the point, like, yes, you're a, like, we feel like we're a part of the Voyager crew, but at the same time, we kind of were like, yeah, no, he's right.
Yeah.
Screw you, King. You know?
Yes, and, yes.
So that's
totally
why I loved
with
him.
You on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing. Good Lord.
Absolutely, yeah. Another wolf in sheep's clothing. And,
definitely. Another.
I loved the gun that he used. I loved his outfit. I loved his makeup. That actor is also a very fine actor. He was, I know him from Twin Peaks and Good Night and Good Luck. And he's just a very, very solid character actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have nothing further to add. You nailed it.
You really
did. All right. If that's the case, then let's move on. Lori, let's get your third pick. This is the final round.
The final round. All right. Ring the bell. My final pick is Kellen from Unforgettable, because really, I looked at her as somebody I just wanted to shove out an airlock. She got on my nerves from the moment she arrived. We were in love, and you forgot about me. So this time, when you fall in love with me, write it down so you won't forget. Gag, please bring me a bucket so I can throw up. Because that's really over the top.
Where's the love portion?
Yeah, that's why she's not on my list, because I just hated her.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So your third choice, you just cut the requirements in half and like, just hate.
No, wait,
just hate her.
I can think of something. Wait a minute. I loved her hair color.
Hair. I knew you were going to say hair color.
I have another idea on how you can save us. You just loved hating her so much that you love to hate her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If I ever want to.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Makes perfect sense. What are you talking about, Tristan? Well, don't ruin this.
I think I'm kind of with you on maybe not the hate part, but just kind of the roll your eyes part.
Ugh.
Where I really like Virginia Madsen. I mean, we've already talked about how much I love Virginia Madsen, and when I said that, you guys were like, "Who?" And
that's true, we did.
I think I don't know. Yeah, I didn't like that episode at all. I usually kind of skip that one. Even though I really like Chakotay and I really like Virginia Madsen, the two of them together was just eh.
It was so meh. It's called Unforgettable too, and it is the most forgettable episode in the whole series. Almost,
it's true. So it's pretty harsh.
That's just such a double whammy for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Shar, how about you? Do you have one that you actually love and hate at the same time?
I do. I hope this one's not too obvious, but I think it has to be said. What about Q?
No. Oh, Q.
Yeah, Q.
That's probably the most common answer in all of Star Trek, because he's kind of the ambassador to all the series except for TOS.
Well, in DS9, he only did one episode.
Well, he was still there, though.
But no.
Yeah. Yes, no, but no. He was there. He was in an episode.
Yes, no, but no.
Just no.
I don't know. I don't hate Q in the least. I don't hate him at all. Okay. I don't hate a single thing that he's done. So, I mean...
All right, okay. I need to explain.
But this is just me.
Please,
this is
where I'm coming from.
Yeah, all right. I love Q as much as any other fan. He adds so much fun and spunk to any episode that he is on. What I love to hate about Q on Voyager, though, is that it's different. The TNG Q is a little different than the Voyager Q. Like, he's challenging Picard to rethink humanity and stuff like that, whereas on Voyager, he's trying to mate with Janeway.
It's true. Next. You're right.
Okay.
You are.
There's a little bit of a downshift here, and he's still Q, but he's frivolous Q, just that. And something is missing there, and I kind of have a little bone to pick with that. Now, the Death Wish is the only exception.
With that reasoning, I think you're spot on. Mm-hmm. I think if you were just going to say, like, I hate Q, but I love him because he's who he is, then be like, okay, yeah, that's obvious. But that's very good supreme reasoning as to why you would love Q, but also dislike what he's become on Voyager.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Now, Death Wish is the obvious exception to that. That's a very good thought-provoking episode. But once you get to Q in the Gray and then Q2... things take a major downfall, and he never really redeems himself, and that's just tragic for a character like Q.
That's what I was thinking.
Man, you totally bummed me out by making me think about that.
I'm sorry.
It's true, because, like, if you look at them, I mean, there was fun episodes in TNG, like Cupid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a fun Q episode where there's nothing about being thought-provoking or anything like that. It's just a fun episode, but... there's more thought-provoking Q episodes in TNG than there are fun ones, but in Voyager, there's more fun ones than there are thought-provoking ones.
Right. Like, where's the tapestry of Voyager? We never got that.
Yes. No, we did not.
So, sorry to be a downer. Tristan, what is your third pick?
I know, that's totally a downer, but it's good. I mean, you had very good reasoning. Okay, so my third and final one, and the final one for the show until we get to the bonus round, is Carr from Initiations.
Nice. Yeah. I thought about this one. Please.
I was wondering if you guys were going to remember Carr or not. He's the Aaron Eisenberg who also played Nog on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, he is Nog the Kazon to me.
Yeah, I know, right? He's pretty much, he's not Carr, he's just Nog in Kazon outfit.
Yeah. Sorry, that you just it's so obvious.
It
it's
is
not
very
the actor's
obviously
fault.
Aaron
He's
Eisenberg,
just so distinctive.
Yeah. But I still think that he did a great job in that character. I mean, mm-hmm. his motivations were clear. We never doubted about them whatsoever. And I liked seeing Chakotay marooned with him, where Chakotay's ideals were like at test. He's like, look at me, I'm just a man. You know, like you can hurt me if you want, but I don't want to hurt you. And then all the kids are like, no, we still want to kill you. It's fine. but I like those situations where people are marooned on a rock and they have to work together even if they hate each other. I know it's a trope, but I love it. And I love good Chakotay episodes, and this is a good Chakotay episode, so I'll take it when I can get it.
It is. It is. Yeah, you are right about that.
So what did you guys think about Carr's character?
He was a good little sullen teenager, I have to say. He played that really well. Angry angst. He had it going on.
Yeah, just imagine if we gave teenagers weapons and ships. What kind of chaos would happen with that?
Yeah. Well, and I know that they created the Kazon as sort of an offshoot of L.A. gangs. And that's so clear in this episode. So Carr is basically just a wannabe gangsta.
Well, I feel like the original intent of the Kazon was actually supposed to be run by children, which we'll get into next week. But I feel like if they were filled with actors that were as capable as Aaron Eisenberg, it could have paid off. But yeah, I thought this was a good one-off. I mean, I didn't think it necessarily had to be Kazon. I feel like the episode would have worked even if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to see a little bit more Kazon history and backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because I like my
definitely.
Enemies fleshed out.
We needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would almost dare say this is probably one of the best Kazon episodes or episodes about the Kazon out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. Yeah, it's probably my favorite Kazon episode. And I know a lot of people hate them, but this one was done well. And I felt like there wasn't a weak link in the episode.
No, it was very good. And Aaron Eisenberg did do a really good job with the role. It's mm-hmm. just that voice. You know him. He's Nog.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just so obviously, the person we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that was our final round. I don't have any more picks, but you ladies told me in the other side of the room that you did. So I'd love to hear a quick bonus round because we only have a couple minutes left.
Go ahead.
All right. I have one, and I think this one's fairly, for obvious reason, Maj Kola.
That was my other one. That was
Oh, nice.
I mean, the face I immediately think of about, like, when the words enemies you love to hate or characters you love to hate, mm-hmm. his face pops up like that. And I thought, oh, man, that's almost too obvious. You can't go with that. So I had to go into a little more depth and think of others, but he was definitely on the list, has to be nominated. I think he kind of speaks for himself.
I might have a bonus round, and you guys might be able to debate me on this one.
Okay.
But here goes. Suitor.
Mm.
I mean, the guy
Love
committed
to hate him.
Cold-blooded murder. He's a murderer on Star Trek Voyager. That right there is enough for us to hate him, but we see him go through therapy with Tuvok and a mind meld with Tuvok and kind of rehabilitate, and he wants to do right for the crew, and he ends up saving the day, ends up saving Voyager and all their lives, and but there's still that, you're a murderer, you know, you need to be punished for your crimes, but I still kind of like you.
Yeah, I don't know if I love to hate him. I think initially I kind of hate to love him.
Hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
An interesting distinction.
Yes, because, he is a cold-blooded, probably would have been a serial killer had he gotten away with it. But he really is trying, as you say, Lori, bless his heart.
Bless
so
him.
You got to give him credit where it's due, but he wants to kill you.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, I felt sorry for him in Basics, where he saves the ship, and you can see what he's going through having to kill, and he doesn't really want to do it anymore. And I had a lot of empathy for him at that point. So, it was hard to love him, but still. How could
I love how he went out. I mean, I love it when, you know, people get shot and that they still have enough energy to hit one more button. I will never get tired of that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, he went out in a blaze of glory. I thought that was a really good short-term character arc.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's not somebody that we needed to be overloaded with, but it was somebody that we could get a taste of.
Yeah, I think we got just enough. Mm-hmm. And I know that they wanted to have him on the show for a longer amount of time. They initially were not going to kill him off. And I think Jerry Taylor said, well, I'm not sure what else to do with this guy. Let's have him sacrifice himself in the name of saving the ship. I think they got it just right. I think she was right on that one.
Just enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for this week. I think that was a good list. I love our 3x3 list that we create.
Me too. They're so much fun.
Okay, so please join us next week as we discuss some of our favorite Delta Quadrant native enemies. And as you've probably guessed through us talking throughout this episode, our first batch is going to be the Kazons. Now, you may love them, you may hate them, but you definitely have opinions about them. So we're going to talk about the history, what we like, what we don't like, and what could have been if they did something different. So, thank you so much for listening, and this has been... To the journey!
To the journey!
To the journey!